This is Talking with the Gravy Train on Ski Tracks, the latest in Nordic ski talk and news. And now your host, Peter Graves.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Graves, and welcome to another edition of Talking with the Gravy Train. Today, a very special guest on the telephone, a longtime friend of mine, and a legend in cross-country skiing circles, and that is the great Pierre Harvey. And Pierre, bonjour, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Absolutely. Well, time is short now as we close in on the Olympic Games, and I do want to talk about some of your experiences in a moment, but your son Alex is going, making his, I believe, second Olympic appearance. What are the thoughts that are going through your mind as a father?
Oh, for sure, many things. Just remembering those times where I was competing, and I know how Alex is feeling now, getting in the last few weeks before the opening of the game. And we all know that Olympic Games are the biggest event an athlete can have every 4 years. And Alex is going there for the second time of his life, so he knows a little bit more. And even if he had some good results in Vancouver, for sure, his goal now is he would like to be on the podium. He had some good results in the last few years, and now he has to find the way to put it together on the day of the race and be able to go on the podium. This is the main goal, the only goal I would say of the season. Even if he had some good World Cup race now, the big thing is trying to be on the podium in Sochi.
Pierre, do you know what the plans are of not only Alex, but the Canadian cross-country ski team in this build-up period? Do you know where they're going to be going to train and all that?
Yeah. Now they are in north of Italy, in Sizerheim, and we used to be there when I was with the Canadian team, and we were there with the American team many times with Bill Koch in the past. And this is a really nice place, quite high, about 1600 meters. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's a nice place where the weather is nice, the snow is usually really good and sunny, so it's a good place to fill the batteries and do the last good workout they need to get ready. And also the altitude is always important just a few days before the game to fill all the red cell that you can develop in your body to be able to succeed at the Olympic.
Mm-hmm. And I think when they go to the games, they will be they stay up in the mountain cluster area. There's a village up there for the, let's say, the Nordic athletes.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm not sure 100%, but I'm quite sure that they don't start from Sochi, the town, every day. They have a village for the alpine and cross country and Nordic sport up in the mountain. And one last thing I forgot to say in your previous question was that there is a last World Cup in Asiago, in Italy, just a week before they leave for Sochi. So next weekend they don't race, but 2 weeks from now they will do the last World Cup and then travel to Russia.
Yeah, and you know, Pierre, as I've watched this season develop, it's interesting. You know, we had some people ski the Tour de Ski, for example. Merritt Bjørgen did not. Keegan Randall did not. You know, it's a different kind of year, the Olympic cycle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's really different. And each country tried to organize the season and have their own recipe to peak at the right moment. So for some athlete, for distance athlete, they have a program. For sprinter, they have a little bit different program depending on the on the what kind of race they have in the weekend on the World Cup. If, like the Tour de Ski, we had a few sprint races in the first part of the week, and then the sprinter were there, and then most of them left in after maybe 3-4 events to go back training and resting, getting ready for the Olympic, and they start like over 100 men, and at the end there were about half of them quit during the 9 days of racing. So each country has their own way to prepare, and they, over the year they develop a plan that they try to improve every Olympic cycle. And also we had this season one of the big change was that the two leaders, Peter Nordtog and the Swiss Dario Colonia, were not really Dario was not racing, so
right.
I've been racing so far. And Nordtog was a bit sick at the beginning of the season, and now we see that he's improving every week, but they were not racing last week in Poland, Norwegian. So it's different. For the goal is really each country, they try to make a plan to have their best result of the season during the Olympic 8-10 days.
Yeah, and not only do you have to be on top of your game in peak condition, but you also have to stay healthy, which at an Olympic Games, with all the outside pressures, time zone changes, unavoidable contact with crowds, it's not so easy, just the basic health management, is it?
No, exactly, and often we've seen athletes being a bit sick during the game, and I remember in Vancouver, the Canadian team, they had a special apartment where they lived. They were not living in the athletes' village. They rent a house where they could be a bit more protected against all type of flu or other kind of sickness that you can get when you're in contact with many people, as you said before. And you spend 4 years training and getting ready for the Olympic, and you don't want to have problem during the game. So it's each country, they try to plan long in advance what they will do, and if somebody gets sick, how they will manage that. But it's always a big challenge.
Yeah. And so, you know, going into the games, what kind of fatherly advice do you give to your son about this experience that he's about to walk into?
The first thing I try to do is not to coach him at all, to let the real coach do their work, and they are much better than I can do. I think as a father, I have to stay away from any kind of advice on skiing itself. And my what I try to concentrate is to make Alex feel relaxed and be happy to be there, and just try and tell him to enjoy this time, that sometimes it happens once in your life and you have to try to enjoy that and be focused on the day, and just think that you prove to yourself that you can be as good as any other of these really good skiers. And if you put all the ingredients together on that day, you have a good chance to be on the top athlete. So try to relieve as much pressure as possible and just enjoy your time there and be focused. And when they say go, you just do the best that you can, and you know that you have the potential to be on the podium. So you just have to believe in it, and when it's time to do it, you don't think any other thing than that. You just focus and go for it.
Yeah, well, that seems like wise advice, not only for Alex, but for all Olympic athletes going in there. Pierre, do you have, looking back on your vast career, do you have one favorite Olympic memory of your own?
I had the chance to do Summer Olympic and Winter, and when I was 19 years old, I did my first Olympic game in Montreal. So my Olympic game in my province. So I was young, and I was just looking at every other athlete of different sport. I was so impressed and so happy and proud to be there. And for sure, the Montreal are the a big part of my Olympic memories. But also Calgary was a really good time for me because I knew that I could fight with the best guy and have a place there. But I was really sad after the game when I realized that I couldn't do anything better than 15th, 20th place. Mm-hmm. And at this time, there was a bit of doping going on, and this was really disappointing for people who spend 10, 15 years of his life training for it. And the next 2 weeks, we went to Europe, and I could win 2 World Cups in a row. So for sure, the game of Calgary were a really nice souvenir, but my result, I was really, really disappointed with that and a bit discouraged, but... at least I could finish my career with some nice races where I can't remember all my life. But I would think those are the first and the last Olympic that I took. I was involved were really nice souvenir, both of them.
Yeah, oh, indeed so.
I also remember for sure Sarajevo, where it was a small place and it was really, really quiet and nice. I remember cycling with Steve Bauer in Atlanta, in Los Angeles, and so for me it was each game are important, but the first and the last one are probably the most the best souvenir I have.
And what do you think right now the current assessment of international cross country skiing? Clearly, we have the Tour de Ski, which has emerged as a wonderful property of the FIS, adding a lot of color, getting big TV ratings. You also have these mini tours that you see, like the one in Kusimo, and Falun often has one at the end of the season. What is your current feeling about the state of cross country skiing internationally?
I think it's getting really on a good way. For me, it's I think it's important to have events where you have some a bit more spectacular than when I was competing, where you go for 50 kilometers, you would, and an hour later you're back and you start for a second lap, and then everyone in the stadium is wondering what's happening, where. Who is leading, and just the expert could follow that, and with their timing, and even in that in this time, the timing was not what we see today. We didn't have live timing like we have now. Mm-hmm. I think it's improving. It's getting more and more spectacular. The sprints are really a big suspense, where even if you're really fast, you have to qualify, you have to be in quarter final, semifinal, and final. So anything can happen, and it's not decided until the last 25 feet of the race. So it's really exciting to follow and easy to understand what's going on. So to me, it's the move were really wise, and to all the change in the sport is going for the better. And we see more young kids getting interested in skiing, and I think that the people who are working on the development of the sport are on the right track, and I really enjoy following the races from beginning to the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree that the live timing has been wonderful. And, of course, you know, Canada is to be so much congratulated for their continuation with a World Cup, both in Canmore and in that spectacular event we had in Quebec City last year. It was a really wonderful event.
Yes, it was really fun, and I was a bit involved with it and with the organizer, and now they are trying to plan for some more of these World Cup in Canada, and they are even talking of a small a ski tour in North America.
Yeah, I've heard talk of that.
Really fun. Yeah, and it's not decided yet, but for sure here in Quebec, we try to improve the network, the tracks, at Mont-Saint-Anne to improve the stadium and put it back to the high level, the new level of racing where the track are shorter distance and stadium. We have to invest quite a lot to make it to the new standard, but the government is really interested, and now they are just looking to find the money. But everyone seems to be pushing on the same direction, and everyone enjoy what they saw in Quebec City last December, a year ago, and they really want to bring it back again in the future. So it's to me, it's I'm really happy when I see the sport I enjoy so much getting more and more recognized in North America. And every time I see Canadian or American on the podium, I know it's good for the sport when I see the Kicken Randall going up on the stadium and she won here in Quebec City. I was really pleased to see an American on the podium, because I know it's nice to see Norwegian and Scandinavian, but if we want to develop our sport here, we need to have athletes who go on the podium. We have to compete against other sport, hockey, where you have one team win, the other team lose. When the people in North America, they don't understand so well what it means to be a 10th in the world. But sometimes I explain to them that the best hockey player in Montreal is maybe 15th in the world, and the second man on the team is maybe 30th in the world. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that when you have a Canadian or an American on the podium in a World Cup, it's probably as good or better athlete than our best hockey player. So they are used to a system, and that's why it's important to have our skier being, when they can be on the podium, then we get better coverage from the press and people. And when we need money to organize event, it's easier to get sponsor and attention of the public.
Now, probably a lot of people don't know that. I mean, we've known each other many, many years, probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 years. But we had the chance to do the pre-Olympic in Vancouver public address announcing, and we had a really good time with that. And I know that you enjoy announcing, and you're back again as a part of the broadcast team for Ski de Fond with Radio Canada, I think. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, it's always a pleasure when I am invited to do that, to be commentating on the ski races. And even if it's not my full-time job, I still work as an engineer, but I enjoy taking a break of 2-3 weeks and going to the Olympic. For me, it's a good way to remember all these the past, but it's also what I try to focus is to tell people how fun it is to ski and how nice is cross-country skiing as a sport. And when I hear comments, when I'm back home and people say, oh, we listened to skiing and it was really exciting. This is what is my pay, what I'm going for, mm-hmm. to bring cross-country skiing to the people and tell them how fun it is, how good it is for you, for your health. And it's a sport that you can enjoy all your life. And I think the method is coming slowly, but it's coming, and people enjoy it more and more. And that's when I go to the Olympic, for sure, I feel really, how to say that, I feel really like it's not an honor. I'm lucky, not lucky, I always say that I'm proud.
And yeah, yeah.
Really, I'm really... it's a chance for me to be there, because it's not everyone who has the chance to go at the Olympic and be close to the athlete, even go skiing on the track and talk with the people, all the wax technician, and see these super athletes. So it's a nice I always appreciate being there, and I just try to deliver the best message possible to have more and more young people and all the crowd excited about skiing.
Yeah. Well, Pierre, I thank you so much for your time. When I think of you as you are and your incredible career, I think of you as being the personification of the sportsman and gentleman. And our sport has been so blessed to have you, and I feel honored to call you my friend. So thank you so much for taking the time with us today, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Sochi.
Yes, thank you, Peter, and I'm also pleased to be your friend, and I know that you are one of the best ambassadors of the sport in North America, and every time we hear you, people enjoy your description of sport, and I think you're doing a great job for that.
Thank you so much. That's Pierre Harvey with us on this very special edition of Talking with the Gravy Train. I'm Peter Graves. So long for now.